Citigroup shareholders say not so fast to executive pay packages.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Jeremy Hobson. Citigroup shareholders shot down a hefty pay package for senior executives. The board-approved pay included a $15 million salary for Citigroup's CEO. John Dimsdale joins us live now to talk more about this. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Stacey.
John, how did this vote come about?
Well, the new Dodd-Frank rules require companies to hold an annual vote among shareholders on the salaries and benefits of senior-level employees. It's only advisory. It's not binding on the company. But yesterday's annual meeting for Citigroup, 55% of the shareholders voted against last year's executive pay packages. Vikram Pandit, the CEO, his salary might be lavish, but it's less than the pay offered at several other big Wall Street banks like Wells Fargo and J.P. Morgan.
Do you think this will be a trend now?
Well, I wouldn't say shareholders have been exactly breaking down the barricades in rejecting pay. Only three other companies so far this year have voted against executive salaries. Charles Elson, a corporate governance professor at the University of Delaware, says this vote reflects Citigroup's poor performance.
Things have been going all that well in that bank, and if you are unhappy with the results, a large pay package will make you even more unhappy. And I think those combination of those two equals a no vote on pay.
Elson expects that there will be some modifications in the pay offered at Citigroup, and you can bet that other Wall Street banks are going to be watching that closely.
Marketplace's John Dimsdale. Thank you, John.
Thanks, Stacey.
Overseas markets are mixed this morning. Asian markets had a very good morning. Tokyo's Nikkei Index jumped more than 2%. European stocks are mostly down. London's FTSE is off 0.1%. Billionaire investor Warren Buffett has announced he has prostate cancer. The 81-year-old Buffett told shareholders in a letter that the cancer is in its early stages and treatable. Buffett will continue to head up Berkshire Hathaway. U.S. markets made a strong showing yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 1.5% to close at 13,115. You probably think of Hulu as a website where people go to watch TV shows online. But now Hulu's making its own shows and looking for advertisers. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports.
Years ago, Netflix started buying films at Sundance.
Doing an end run around Hollywood studios.
And made the first digital power play against the media giants, says tech writer Chris Null. The power struggle's grown as online viewings evolved beyond old movies and reruns.
By and large, the stuff that's being watched is new stuff.
Digital distributors want to say to the big guys, if you won't give us your newest, best stuff, well,
I got some demands. I'm thinking Lilyhammer.
We'll buy or make our own, like the Netflix-only show Lilyhammer, about a New York gangster in Norway. Andrew Lipsman at digital media firm Comscore says the underdogs are banking that content is king.
To the extent that Hulu and Netflix can generate new hits and bring new subscribers into the fold, I think it could potentially be very valuable.
Keyword there, hits. The shows have to be good enough for people to keep their Hulu and Netflix accounts because that's where the good stuff is. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
The White House is threatening to veto a transportation bill after House legislators tacked on an approval for the Keystone XL oil pipeline that would run from Alberta, Canada to Texas. Meanwhile, the company building the pipeline says it's secured almost all of the land it needs to begin construction of a shortened line from Oklahoma down to the refineries in the Gulf Coast. From Red River Radio, Kate Archer-Kent has that story.
The horses grazing in direct Texas pay no attention to their owner.
Come on, Yogi.
Farmer Julia Trigg Crawford says the horses are ignoring her because she hasn't had time to ride them. She's all consumed by her court battle. TransCanada condemned part of her pasture to make way for its 500-mile pipeline. She's challenging eminent domain law. That's where private property can be taken for public use. She says her legal defense against TransCanada could cost $300,000.
When you realize that you are up against a foe with a deep pocket, and we've got a lot of grit, but we don't have the money.
She's concerned about the environmental impact to her land and a decline in value with a pipeline running through it. Crawford launched a website, standwithjulia.com. So far, she's raised about $7,000.
People are sending me nickels and dimes. They know that this is not an easy thing to do. They're appreciative almost that someone just like them, Joe Everyman, farmer in Texas, is willing to say, okay, we'll stand out front if you guys kind of back us up.
Crawford says TransCanada offered her $20,000 to use her pasture. She refused, so the company took her to court. Now a jury decides compensation. Attorney Hal Cameron has defended thousands of landowners in eminent domain disputes. He says Texas law is clear-cut. Roads, power lines, pipelines will always need to be built.
Landowners pretty much up against the wall. Not much you can do. The real fight is over the money. How much are they going to pay for protecting your land? How much are they going to take you for damaging your land?
TransCanada spokesman Jim Prescott says legal challenges attract attention, but they're rare. He says the vast majority of easement agreements for pipelines are decided at a kitchen table.
We've certainly had a lot of landowners come to us and say, let's do business.
Prescott says TransCanada hopes to start construction by midsummer once it has all federal permits and landowner agreements in hand. Julia Trigg Crawford's trial is set for April 30th. In Direct Texas, I'm Kate Archer-Kent for Marketplace.
And finally, some must-have products for the house of the future. The Gadget Fair kicked off today in Geneva. Among the items on display, a screen for playing simulated golf, a super-fast sock dryer, and a ball that protects households against electromagnetic waves, like a fancy version of the tinfoil hat. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Yeah, we've heard it all before. It's not easy being green. So most companies don't, whatever they say.
If you were to ask me the global 1,000 corporations, you know, how many of them are seriously about sustainability and long-term value creation, we are probably at 15%.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Freakonomics and Corporate Responsibility next time on Marketplace. It's from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.